He really is just that good. At the age of 25, Tiger Woods was the youngest ever golfer to hold all four professional major championships at the same time. He's made some $90 million from prize money and from endorsements from such companies as Nike, Gillette, American Express, General Motors, Gatorade. Not only that, Tiger Woods has established multiple charities and youth projects. And he had a lovely wife, Erin, and two children. Tiger epitomised the American dream. Clean cut, clean living, successful sportsman and family man. No wonder so many American brands wanted him to wear their label. But then in late 2009, it emerged that Woods had been living a double life. Several women came forward claiming that they had been having affairs with Woods, and he subsequently confessed to a whole string of adulterous liaisons spanning several years. He's now divorced. What a tragic fall. And what angered people wasn't just the immorality, as grotesque as it was. What angered people was the duplicity, the deceitfulness, the fact that his private life didn't match up with the public persona. People felt let down, deceived, tricked. Because people despise hypocrisy. And if people despise hypocrisy in the sporting world, they certainly despise it in the church. For we don't expect to see it in the church. Michael Reed was the pastor of a church in Essex, England. He was ordained to the level of bishop. He was the leader of an organisation called the Christian Congress for Traditional Values until he resigned in 2008 after it had emerged that he had been having an adulterous affair for 8 years with his music director. Traditional Values. Friends, these are shocking cases of hypocrisy. Cases where the inner reality doesn't match the outer public image. In fact, there's a massive gulf between the two, between what's on parade, what's on display, and the internal private reality inside. But we can be quick to point the finger. And before we do, we must ask ourselves, could it be a problem for us? Is there a gap between your public image and the internal private reality of your life? How are you living behind closed doors? What's really going on inside your heart, inside my heart? In our passage, Jesus says to his disciples, be on your guard against hypocrisy. So it's a danger for all of us. We're going to begin by praying that we will heed this warning as we look at our passage together, so please join me. Father God, thank you so much that we can meet together today to open your word. We pray that you would teach us by your Spirit. We pray that you would lead us to obedience, and we ask it for the glory of your name. Amen. Today is Hospitality Sunday, as you know. Alison and I are really looking forward to having some of you into our home just after church. I'm not expecting that one of the guests that we're going to be hosting will launch into a scathing personal attack against me. I'm hoping it won't happen. It may happen. It's not what I'm planning, though. But this is exactly what happens at the dinner party to which Jesus is invited. Jesus isn't an easy guest to have on Hospitality Sunday. Have a look at the section, chapter 11, verse 37. Follow along with me. Chapter 11, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were a group of Jewish religious leaders. The Pharisees emphasized two things, the Torah and tradition. Now, the Torah is the law, the Jewish law, particularly the first five books of the Old Testament. It's a good thing to emphasize that. The Pharisees had that right, but they so emphasized their traditions that their traditions became more important than the Torah. Their extra rules were actually more important to them, such as this purification rule in our passage, the one that Jesus neglected to perform. They looked so impressive on the outside, the Pharisees. They looked pious, holy. But inside, well, they were rotten, verse 39. Inside, you were full of greed and wickedness. They're hypocrites. The outside image doesn't square with the internal reality. Here's an apple. I like apples. It looks beautiful on the outside. Do you find that before you eat an apple, you never know quite what it's going to be like on the inside? I mean, it could be fresh, crisp, juicy. It could be flowery and flavorless. Even worse, it could be black and rotten. These Pharisees, they're bad apples. No matter how good they look on the outside, inside, they are black and rotten. Now, why are they like this? Well, they lead this double life because they think they can hide from God. They think God doesn't see what's on the inside. And I think we can make this mistake as well. We can concentrate so much on our public religious life because people see it. People see how often I come to church. People see what I do around the place. It's easy to put on a good show, isn't it? But we think our private life is off limits. And what I do behind closed doors, what's really going on in my heart? But verse 40, Jesus shows them the error. For God sees it all, for God made it all. God made the outside, he made the inside. You can't hide from God. And so, Jesus says that we are to have, or the Pharisees are to have, hearts that give generously. That is true religion. The NIV, I don't think, is quite right when it says give what is inside the dish to the poor. The passage is saying give what is inside the heart to the poor. Don't be greedy inside, full of wickedness and greed, verse 40. Instead, be generous. Then you will be really clean. That is pure religion. Being other person-centered, caring for others, being generous to others, the poor particularly. Now, friends, what would Jesus say to us, do you think? Jesus, God who sees everything. Do we have generous hearts? Or are we greedy hoarders? Jesus knows what is on the inside as well as what is on the outside. Jesus is an offensive dinner party guest. Not an easy one to have. Right now, I'd be wanting to change the topic of conversation, start talking about the state election or Ricky Ponting or something. Jesus just keeps going. He won't let the conversation be changed. He's just getting warmed up. He launches into a tirade of blistering attacks, starting with the expression, whoa! It means alas. Now, I'm going to get us to do a little bit of work here and pick a whoa. And then I'll just get somebody just to quickly tell us, summarize for us what Jesus is saying. What he's accusing the Pharisees for doing, and where relevant, what he's accusing the Pharisees for not doing. Now, this church is great because it divides into six, and we've got six woes. You guys here, please, on this bank, take 11:42. You guys here, just before where it splits, 11:43, 11:44. Then Jesus launches into the lawyers. They don't get away. 11:46 for you guys. You guys, please, have the tough one. You've got five verses, 47 to 51, and 52 for you guys. We'll just be quick. We'll take a minute. That's all. Do it with the person next to you if you like or on your own. What have they done that's wrong? What is their sin of commission, if you like? What have they failed to do that they should have done? What is their sin of omission? We're relevant. So 1 minute, off you go. And then I'll hear some answers. Okay, friends, that's enough time. We'll start with you guys. Verse 42. Somebody feeling brave? Please. Very good. Thank you very much. Well done. I really like that answer. That was excellent. Thank you. They tithe, which was a good thing, but they don't keep the main thing the main thing. They don't administer justice or love God. Excellent. Thanks, Alison. Well done. You guys? Next one, 43. Yep. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. About status and the admiration of men. They liked the trappings that came with their leadership. Thank you. Excellent. That was what was important to them. You guys were 44. Yep, that's it. Yes. Yep, great. Thanks, Dennis. I think that's right. Exactly, yes. Yes, this would have been particularly offensive to the Pharisees who prided themselves on religious cleanliness. Jesus is calling them graves, the most unclean thing there is. And yes, to come into contact with them was to brush up against death itself. Yeah, thanks. The lawyers, 46. Excellent. Thank you. Great. Yep. They burdened people with complex religious rules and so on, but didn't actually really care about helping people. Yep. Great. Thank you very much. You guys had a tough one. Anyone? Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes, that's right. Yes. Thank you. And these guys were building the tombs of the prophets, which might have looked impressive, might have looked as though they were on the side of the prophets, but Jesus says actually it's because you're actually on the side of your forefathers who killed the prophets in the first place. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Excellent. And the last one, 52. Great work, great answer. Thank you very much. Well done, everybody. Thanks very much for helping one another to understand Jesus' rebuke here of these leaders. In summary, they're hypocrites, the Pharisees and the lawyers, hypocrites. They attend to the externals, their public religious appearance. That looks good. They've got that right. Inside, they don't have the real thing. There's no real love of God. There's no real love for other people. They are insincere, duplicitous hypocrites. Now, the really dangerous thing about these hypocrites is that they are leaders. They are leaders. And so their hypocrisy doesn't just affect themselves, it affects the people who are following them. You see this in a couple of places, verse 44. Have a look there, verse 44. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. Jesus is saying that the Pharisees actually lead people to death. They're meant to lead people to life, but they lead people to death. They are unmarked or open graves. Come into contact with them and you'll be cut down. Deeply offensive to them. You see it also in verse 52, the one that we were just talking about. Have a look there. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. You see, all leaders have followers. That's what it means to be a leader. But if the leader is wicked, their capacity for destruction is phenomenal. And that's what was going on here. That's why Jesus is so furious at them. The book War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy speaks of the Napoleonic Wars. And one of the things that Tolstoy shows the reader is just the gross incompetence of the Russian generals. They're depicted in a really bad light. There's one particular scene where one of the commanders orders the cavalry in his charge to cross a raging torrent in pursuit of the enemy. The enemy are just on the other side. This is a flooded river. There's no way anybody could cross it, even on horseback as they are. But the men obey. The leaders just had this incredible hypnotic sway over their men. The men gladly obey. And so it's a really powerful scene. They charge into the river to a sudden watery death. They're just simply washed to their death. Jesus is saying this is what the Pharisees are. They are incompetent generals. They're meant to be experts in the law. Their job is to lead people to life, but they don't do that. Not only do they not enter life themselves, they prevent their followers from entering life. As we saw before, they actually lead people to death. They are open graves or unmarked graves. So that is Jesus' piercing indictment against the Pharisees and the lawyers. And that concludes the dinner party. I said before that a bad leader has great capacity for destruction. Thankfully, a good leader has great capacity for contribution or blessing. And praise be to God that there is such a leader. Our passage talks of this leader a little bit earlier on. Of course, this leader is Jesus, the very one making the attack against the Pharisees and the lawyers. So come back and have a look at verses 33 to 36. Jesus says, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you." Jesus stands in clear contrast to the hypocritical Pharisees. For Jesus is wiser than Solomon, verse 31. Jesus is greater than Jonah, verse 32. Jesus is so pure that he is called light itself, verse 33. And light spreads. That's really what's being said here. Light spreads. So it is with Jesus and his leadership. What's being said here is you've got to make sure that you see Jesus rightly. That's why it says the eye is the lamp of the body. We must perceive Jesus rightly, see him as he really is. If we do that, our souls, our bodies will be filled or flooded with light. If we don't see Jesus rightly as the one who he is, we will be in darkness. And this is the Pharisees. Jesus has just rebuked them, but they don't hear it. Verses 53 and 54. They just plot their revenge. They don't hear a word of what he has said. So let us ask ourselves, have we seen Jesus rightly? Have we come to Jesus, who is pure light, this good leader? And have we let his light fill our bodies and flood our souls? But friends, even if we are people who live in Jesus' light, we must guard against hypocrisy. Jesus says this to his disciples, and it's the last section that we're going to have a look at, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs.'" In ancient Israel, when Jews made bread, they would keep a small lump of dough aside. They would put it aside, and then that would become yeast for the next lump. There was a great risk, though, that this yeast would become infected and then it would just ruin the next loaf that it's added to. Jesus is saying here that the Pharisees are bad yeast, infected yeast, and he's warning his disciples, don't become infected by their bad yeast, polluted or corrupted by them. This hypocrisy can spread, and he's saying, be on your guard. Watch out for this disease. Then he gives this great incentive to watch out for this disease, and that is the private will be made public. The private will be made public. That which we do behind closed doors will be made known. That which we say behind closed doors will be broadcast from the rooftops. Ultimately, there is no place to hide. There's a successful American drama called The Wire. It's a cop show, basically. The police in Baltimore in the US are trying to catch a group of drug lords who have got a crack ring operating in a government housing block. They know this is going on, but they don't want to catch the little guys. They want to catch the big guys, the big fish. So they have the whole place wired. They have it tapped. The phone lines are wired, and there are little video recorders in the rooms in this housing block. It's somewhat like that for us. Our lives are wired. Our speech is wired. Our actions are on record. God sees it all, and all will be made public. You see, we think that we can hide in our private lives. We think that we can live double lives and get away with it. But there is no private place to hide. Ultimately, that's only for a little while. As it did for Tiger Woods, it will all come out in the end. So friends, let me ask you, let me ask myself, where are we living double lives? Nobody else will know. That's the whole point of living a double life. So we need to look honestly into our hearts. And let Jesus' offensive words to the Pharisees and the lawyers probe our consciences. Perhaps it is in the area of sexual purity. Perhaps it is in the area of financial management. Let me raise two other issues in which the Holy Spirit has convicted me. First, what is your speech like? What is your speech like when you're at home and the guard is down and the doors are shut? How do you speak to your family, the people closest to you? Do you speak like a Christian? How do you speak about other people when you're at home and your guard is down? Do you speak like a Christian? Or do you just do that at church? And secondly, what are you like around your non-Christian friends? Are you the same person at work on Monday and into the week as you were at Sunday at church? Or is there some great change that takes place between the 2 days? Are you, in fact, living a double life? One around Christians, one around non-Christians. Jesus isn't an easy dinner party guest. But friends, may we let Jesus' pure light reform our dark hypocrisy. As Jesus has said elsewhere, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to lead us in the prayer that begins the first order for Holy Communion. Please join me as we pray to our God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.